This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. The sermon this week is titled, Bringing the Kingdom, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on January 26th, 2020. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Amen. Well, I want to continue a message I started last week called Bringing the Kingdom, and I'm going to have to really hustle here, so pray for me. But you know what? We've been asking the question throughout this fast, what if every one of us prayed every single day for a move of God? What if every one of us just agreed together through this time of fasting and said, God, move in a fresh new way in our midst? And many of you have been doing that. I know you have. Many of you have been here in the mornings doing that very thing with me. One of the words that God's been giving us is rivers of living water, that God wants to pour out his rivers of living water upon his people and refresh his people, like an oasis, if you will, in the desert, where there are streams in the desert coming to feed your soul and encourage you in this new year. And I believe for many of you, this is going to be the best year ever. This is going to be the best year ever. But let me just say, if it's going to be the best year ever, the year you have the best growth, the year you have the best clarity from the Lord, you're going to probably have to redefine what best is. You're going to probably have to look at it through some different eyes. If you want better family times, you're going to have to cut back and slow down a little bit. If you want better times with God, you're going to have to curb your schedule to fit those in and make that very intentional. If you want your spiritual life to really grow, if you want to be a servant of the Lord, you're going to have to make time for it. Amen? Yes. Three of you agreed. How about the rest of you? Yes. Now, I'm serious about this, and this is something that our world absolutely fights against, because the world wants to make you feel important if you're busy, busy, busy. But I'm just telling you, if you want to go deep in God, you can't be busy, busy, busy all the time. You got to find some time to put your roots down deep into the soil of his nurturing and his growth in your life. So what is the best? If you look at it from God's perspective, I think it's not more stuff and it's not more busyness, but it's more real life. It's more relationships, it's more friendships, it's deeper times of intimacy in the presence of God, it's a closer family. And I don't know about you, but in 2020, I'm saying, bring it on, Lord. I want your best in my life this year. Came across a fascinating study. Priscilla Blinko did this study involving Japanese and American first graders. Really interesting. She gave them a very difficult puzzle to solve. The American children lasted on average 9.47 minutes. Trying to solve this puzzle. The Japanese children lasted 13.93 minutes, or 40% longer than their American counterparts. Anyone want to guess out of those kids who has the higher scores on standardized math tests? It's, of course, the Japanese kids. This is a fascinating study with some interesting implications. The argument is that we might give IQ more credit than it deserves. Persistence in things, the persistence quotient, you might say, might be a better predictor of success in your life. How long are you willing to try something? How long are you willing to really commit to something so that you might see the long-term fruitfulness and benefit and effects of it in your life? So I showed you a study a few weeks ago. If you will get in the Word of God this year, 2020, and you will be in the Word for at least several minutes, four times a week, you're going to see some amazing things happen. They just did this study with 40,000 people, and they found one time a week, not much of an effect. Two times a week, not much of an effect. Three times a week, little bit. Four times a week, it was like a spike upward in the effect that being in God's Word had in people's hearts and lives. Here they are. I got to remind you of them. If you're feeling lonely, that drops 30% if you're in God's Word four times a week or more. If you have an anger issue, 32% drop in that. If you are dealing with alcoholism, 51% drop. If you've got relationship problems, 40% drop. If you're feeling spiritually stagnant, and some people get there. Let me tell you, four times or more in the Word a week, you'll see a 60% drop. If you've gotten trapped into viewing pornography on the web or somewhere, 61% drop if you'll spend time in the Word of God at least four times a week. We need to be persistent people and build our persistent quotient. Amen? And listen to the positive aspects of being in the Word four times or more a week. Sharing your faith goes up 200%. You feel confident in your walk with God to be able to say to somebody else, you know what? I have hope in Jesus. And I want to share that hope with you. And listen to this, discipling others goes up 230%. How many of you think it's worth being persistent in God's Word? And you know what? We had a bunch of responses over here, not many over here. What? We divide up here. So. Come on over here. I like that. So bring in the kingdom. We are called to be kingdom people. I love this quote from Pastor Jack. Christ's likeness includes the reflecting of the beauty of the person of Christ and ministering with his effectiveness. I told you last week there are two legs that I really believe that the church moves on. And those two legs, and their power and their purity. Their power and their purity. It's interesting, in Matthew, the focus, the Great Commission passages of Matthew focus on making disciples. In Mark, miracle manifestations. In Luke, waiting for the power of God from on high. In John, receiving the Holy Spirit. In Acts, where it all comes together. And it is our example and the standard by which we ought to be saying, you know what, Jesus is our standard. This is what the movement he started. We're a part of a movement. We're a people on a movement with God with a message and a mission. Witness in the power and the purity of the Holy Spirit. The church moves on power and on purity. Those are the two legs that the church advances in the world on. You look anywhere in this world where the church is growing. It's a church that believes in purity. It's a church that believes in power. Whenever there's too much of an emphasis on one and a de-emphasis on the other, it gets out of balance and things begin to fall apart. These two legs need to be evenly advancing the church. I want to talk about purity for just a minute. Because I believe in the world we live in, there's an absolute need for the recovery, if you will, of purity. I really believe this. I believe there's been an onslaught of the enemy. 2007 was the beginning of this thing. You realize that? Just 2007 is the first iPhone. I told you the other day, the average person now touches it 2,167 times a day. And it's opened up access to stuff that was never accessible before. And I had a dear friend, powerful pastor, Dr. Ted Roberts, told me, he said, if you give a kid an unrestricted iPhone, it's the same as giving them a loaded 357. They're going to blow their brains out with it. Because the access is just unprecedented to all kinds of things. And they're going to absolutely be exposed to pornography, all kinds of things that are going to absolutely try to, in the church, stain their soul. There's a need for purity to be recovered in the church. In the past, let me just tell you, in the past, purity was so oftentimes associated, holiness was associated with a list of rules, a list of do's and don'ts, and it was mainly don'ts. And a lot of times that message and that issue was presented in such a way that it really felt like a whipping, if you will, a beating, and kind of a chastising from the Lord. But there's something about purity that is so beautiful, that is so wonderful. And I've just highlighted for you three scriptures this morning. 1 Chronicles 16:29, give to the Lord the glory, do his name. Bring an offering, come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Some translations say the beauty of his holiness. I believe God wants to recapture the beauty of his holiness reflected through his bride. The world's looked at the church a lot and said, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. And we've given the world a lot of reasons to say that. Jesus wants to purify his bride. I really believe that. And he wants to make it a glorious, wonderful, beautiful thing. And holiness really, it's an internal work of God that manifests itself in a beautiful way externally. When you allow the Lord to cleanse you from the inside out, then you become more and more a representation of him to the world. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying? Let me just read the one more. Psalm 29:2. Give to the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, man. If we're going to be kingdom people, we're going to have to be people of power and purity. Let me show you Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everybody say, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Yeah, this is very interesting, isn't it? We don't talk about it a lot. We should talk about it more. The kingdom of heaven. The message that Jesus brings, that John the Baptist initiates, that Jesus follows up. Watch this. This is Mark chapter 4, right after Jesus has gone into the wilderness and come back and begun his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven. Everybody say, kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's something about the kingdom of heaven that we need to focus on, that we need to understand, that perhaps we haven't. This is the message that Jesus gives us to preach, that there's a new kingdom you can be a part of. There's a new reality that you can live from. Jesus, you know, Jesus never said to pray for the harvest. He said to pray for the harvest workers, for those that would be called to go out into the harvest, but he never prayed for the harvest. He said, look out there, see the harvest, it's there. He prayed for the laborers to be sent into the harvest fields. That's what Harvest Project is all about, and where the title even comes from. Jesus spent a lot of time pouring into those workers, those that would be sent, those that would be released into the harvest, so that they would be clean-hearted, healthy, and pure, and prepared to be workers in the harvest. Seems like Jesus focused on a lot of things. Lots of laborers, helping those laborers walk healthy, pure, and free, and then arming those laborers with the right message. And the message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Some translations, it's mentioned many times in the Gospels. Sometimes it says the kingdom of God is at hand. But there's a new kingdom that's broken into this earth. And we need to understand that if we're going to understand the call that God has on our lives as kingdom laborers. Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God. What's it mean? Well, it has to do with the manifest rule of God, God's power, God's authority to rule. We're not talking about a realm, a physical realm, as much as we're talking about a righteous reality that you and I have been invited to live in and from. It's not a domain or a place, but it's a dynamic power in people's lives. You realize that Scripture teaches that there are two comings of the king, and there are two comings of his kingdom. The king came, Jesus came, first time as a tender, precious, vulnerable little baby, and the king is going to once again come back. Amen? What the Jews were looking for in a Messiah that they didn't necessarily find in Jesus' first coming, in the second coming you have what the Jews were looking for in the first coming. They weren't looking for a king who would come and bring interior change, or someone who came to destroy the works of the devil or bring regeneration to the human heart. They were looking for someone to overthrow the tyrannical Roman Empire, to destroy their enemies, to raise up the greatest kingdom in the earth. That's why they missed Jesus in his first coming. They were just wanting to be good Jews who could see this mighty deliverer come and rescue their political situation as the nation of Israel. Even John the Baptist gets a little bit foggy on this subject. He says, are you the one, or should we look for another? We just read that this last week in our Daily Life Journal readings. Seems like a strange question. Even John the Baptist had a little confusion, understanding that Jesus was coming to create a kingdom that would rule and reign in the hearts of people. Jesus said, tell him this. The lepers are being cleansed, demons are being cast out, people are being healed, the poor are having the gospel preached to them, and blessed is the one who's not offended because of me. It's the word scandalon in the Greek text. It literally means a stumbling block. Blessed is the one who realizes who I am and why I've come, who doesn't stumble at that. Just because I didn't come the way you expected, and I'm not doing exactly what you'd hoped at this coming. But there is a second coming. There is a time I'm going to come back and set my kingdom up. But now I've come to set up a kingdom in the hearts of men and women, a secret kingdom that is not bound by geography or a castle, but a kingdom that transcends those human limitations, a righteous realm, and a dynamic power in people's hearts. God's called us to be kingdom people, to bring his kingdom to bear on this earth through our lives being lived under his lordship and for his... Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is within you. It does not come by observation. You can't see it as a place, but it's a presence and a power within you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, folks. Aren't you glad we're four square and not just three square or two square? We believe that Jesus is the Savior. He is still the healer. He is still the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And he is the soon coming King. Amen, Lauren? We believe in the four square gospel. It's God's presence and power within you. John the Baptist comes saying, the kingdom of God is among you. How can he say that? Let me tell you how he can say that, because the King is here among you. Here's something to think about this morning. When the King is here personally, and I don't know, we could take a little poll and see how many of you felt Jesus' presence this morning just in that sweet time of worship. I sure did. When the King is here personally, the kingdom is here presently. Kingdom of God was manifesting even here this morning. I bet during the time of worship, you felt love, joy, and peace, and all kinds of good things flowing from God's heart to your heart. See, we come together, and it's this dynamic explosion that happens as all of us are worshiping and lifting our voices and praising God, and it's wonderful, and the same thing happens when we come together to pray. There's just a dynamism that happens, a synergy that occurs. But God wants you to go out into the world, into the harvest, day in and day out, and let his kingdom be spread among others. Let his love, his joy, his peace, his power and presence come to other people. One of my brothers this week, as we were praying here one morning, he said, Pastor Jeff, I've been listening to you, and I've prayed for over 20 people this week. He said, my clients come in, I'm sitting down, we're doing business, and then at the end I just say, hey, how can I pray for you? And God's been using me to bring hope and encouragement to heart after heart after heart. You know, God wants to do that through you too. And it's pretty simple. Just take that step of faith. Just let the presence kingdom flow through you to make a difference in others. The King is among us today. The kingdom is here today. He's among us. Amen? So how do you live in this kingdom? Some people supposedly have received Christ as Savior, but in all honesty, their allegiance is still to the kingdoms of this world. And there's a problem. There's a rub that happens right there. If you're going to walk in the kingdom reality and in the power of the kingdom, you have to have Jesus clearly as your King, as your Lord in every facet of your life. He doesn't want to just be Lord in some parts of your life. He wants to be Lord over all of your life. And let me tell you, that is the blessed life. When you allow him to come in and take control in every area of your life. By the way, I've been really recommending Double Blessings. I think there's a few copies left. You should pick one up. People are really being blessed by this, and it's kind of our book we're reading together at the beginning of this year. Great book by Mark Batterson. So, we are called to be ambassadors who speak on behalf of the King and his kingdom. We're called to be soldiers, full time, not just National Guard coming in every once in a while. soldiers of this king and kingdom, soldiers who fight for what is right in the kingdom. We're not called to be consumers or customers only. We're called to be soldiers, to be ambassadors of this great king of ours. When we realize that and begin to walk in that reality, everything changes. Amen? Everything changes. Let me end with this slide. I showed you this last week, but it's so powerful. Kingdom people are those who bring love where there's hurt, hate, and fear. Kingdom people are those who bring health where there's sickness and affliction. Kingdom people are those who bring life where there's death, hope, where there's depression and despair. Can you say amen to that this morning? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I want to pray with you today. Father, I pray right now for anyone in this room that has not submitted their heart and their life fully to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that needs your salvation, that needs your forgiveness today, that, Lord, you'd move in their heart today. You'd draw them to salvation today. If that's you, you just need to call out upon the Lord right now. You can pray words just like these. I'll pray it with you. Father God, I need you, my Savior and my King today. And show me how to live for you from this day forward. If that's you, listen, God heard you. Let one of our leaders, one of our ushers know. We want to celebrate with you. For the rest of us here in the room this morning, I just want to pray that God would continue to show you how to release his kingdom through you. Father, through every one of these, your precious people, may your kingdom be more fully released in these days ahead. That there would be greater joy, peace, love, power, purity, your presence in every person's heart, every person's home, every person's workplace, everywhere we go, that we'd recognize we're your ambassadors for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Would you stand with me? We've gone a little bit over today. Forgive me for that. Lots to cover. A great day. If you get a chance, make sure to meet my friends Lauren and Erie. And hey, we're going to have a meal. It's our break the fast meal. I mean, we got all kinds of good things back there. I think there's even chili back there. I don't know who wants to break a fast with chili, but hey, some of you are bold. So, you know, advance forward. But it's going to be great. Make sure